Good morning. I really do have a jacket that goes with the suit. Some of you have seen it and passed some very favorable and some unfavorable comments about my ability to wear a suit. But it was so hot, I thought I'd leave the jacket in the pew. That was supposed to be funny, folks. We have had 4 weeks of adverse weather where we've had people held up in home. We've had all sorts of things that have torpedoed us, and the enemy has had a field day in keeping people away. And so this morning, as I look out over the audience, it sure is good to see most of our people back. And I know there's still some that are out and some traveling, but if you're here today and if you're visiting, we're excited that you're here, because today, for us, not only as a country, but for us as a congregation of God's people, is a very, very significant day. And I'm excited about what the future holds. I know that there are those that do not agree with me, as was seen on Friday with the inauguration of our president. And there may be some that don't agree with where we are as a congregation. But we believe that God has guided us and continues to guide us as we seek to do that which would honor Him and glorify His name. And so we stand on the eve of an incredible week, not only in our country, as things are going to change, but I don't know what the future holds, but I know this, that as children of God, we have a significant part in what happens as we offer our petitions of prayer to the Creator God, who is over everything that happens. And as big as a week it is for our country, I believe that it's an even bigger week for us as a congregation, as we are on the eve of moving into a new era. It's been years since this congregation had elders. And today, after a lengthy process that started back in April, we have finally got to the point where our congregation has measured the men against the biblical teachings of the qualities of elders. And we have come up with 4 men who have been vetted and have been approved by the majority of this congregation. And so I'm excited about that. And I need you to know how much I have appreciated very, very much the people that served with me on the team as we worked through the process of this affirmation process. I'm not going to ask them to stand because I would be in trouble afterwards. But I do appreciate Brother George Lips and Brother Ethan Morrison and Sisters Molly Dinwiddie and Deb Rice for serving faithfully with me. And we went through some, I'm not going to say tumultuous times, but we went through some times where we really depended upon God's wisdom and guidance as we went through this process. And so overall, it's been a very, very encouraging and a very beneficial time for me to work with people as we share in a common goal. And God, I believe, has been honored through the whole process. And so we're at that stage in our lives now as a congregation where this new era begins. And today, I thought I'd wear a suit because I wanted to signify to you non-verbally how important this time is to me and to us. And sometimes we do external things that represent that, and sometimes most of how we feel is internal. Be that as it may, I think today is a significant day for us that many of us have been praying about and look forward to what God is going to unfold for us down the road. I believe the process of affirming elders is very, very important. I'm not going to say it's absolutely crucial, I think it's very significant. Because it speaks not only to our own faith in God, but it speaks to us about the faith and the encouragement that we have in our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Even though we recognize that none of us are perfect, and none of us come with a full slate or a full quiver of arrows that would make us absolutely perfectly qualified for anything that we do, we are dependent upon God's grace and mercy. And so when we look at the passage of Scripture that Eric read for us this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 3, I believe that's a very significant passage of Scripture that really sets the course and sets our compass for how we view and respond to the men that God has given us as elders. Certainly, if we look at this passage of Scripture as a pull-down menu to-do list that says, check off these qualifications, and so we have a checklist of activities that have been accomplished or can be accomplished, that is one way to look at it. And I believe that when we look at it from those lens, it gives us a very discolored view of what God would have us function and be as a people. And I believe that as we look at this passage as a passage of Scripture that is in keeping with what Jesus calls, or we call, the Beatitudes, or the becoming attitudes that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 5:6, that these are attitudinal aspects that really elevate and accentuate that which God calls us to be. They're attitudinal aspects that are infused by the presence of the Holy Spirit, who becomes very much a part of our lives as we submit ourselves through the ordinances of baptism, as we convert and commit ourselves to Christ. And as we continue to grow, and as we continue to allow the presence of God in our lives to allow us to become more mature, so we see these attributes that are spoken of in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And so in that sense, they become then the compass or the guiding points that we look to in a physical format at the men who have the spiritual responsibility of guiding us. And today we're going to commit ourselves to the spiritual oversight of these men. Not that they would become our boss, or they would become the rulers, or the final authority of all things in the church, but that they become, as God so decrees, the spiritual overseers of our walk with God, so that we too may become mature Christians, honoring God in all that we do and say. And so having said that all, I'd like to read with you and have you share with me a few other passages of Scripture that I think are really relevant to what we're about today as a people of God. The first passage of Scripture comes from the book of Ephesians in chapter 4 and starting with verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And the Scripture says, and He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors, or it could be elders and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Acts chapter 20 addresses specifically a role of elders, and starting in verse 28, the text gives this charge to the elders: be on guard for yourselves and for the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw them away, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that day and night for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And then the final passage of scripture I want to share with you this morning is taken from 1 Peter chapter 5. And starting in verse 1. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for the sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So I'd like to ask the men who have been appointed or who will be appointed and affirmed as elders, if they would come and stand here in front of the congregation. If you would do that, please. And while these three men come forward, let me share with you that there was a fourth man, if you would stand in the front there. There was a fourth man who was also identified to serve as an elder among us. And that is Herman Pope. And Herman and Shirley have family down in the south in Tennessee and Mississippi, and they had arranged and organized a long winter journey to be with family. And Herman and I spent an extensive time talking about this, and it was decided the best thing for him and Shirley and his family to do was for them to go on and enjoy their journey and their travels to be with their family. And when Herman and Shirley return in maybe March, we will have Herman stand in front of you and we will do something very similar to what we're doing this morning. And so I just need you to be aware of that, and we're excited about the opportunities that we have. And so for you three men that stand before this congregation, I have this simple question to ask of you for now. Are you willing to be faithful in serving God according to the scriptures that we have just read?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
God constantly speaks to us in the metaphor of family. And family is important to God. Family is important to us. And it's an illustration that I think most all of us very easily understand, and we can accept the roles and the authority that goes with those roles within the family. And because we uphold the sanctity and the role of marriage in the same light, we uphold the role and the function of elders within the family of God. It's not that it's an authoritarian role, but it's a role of responsibility to nurture the family. And along with every responsibility, there is always an equal amount of authority that is required to carry out those responsibilities. But the primary function of elders is over the spiritual oversight of the family that God has given us. The Bible does not demand that we take vows when we have marriages, any more than it demands that we take vows when we stand before congregation and commit ourselves to a principle of function, any more than one or the other. However, I do believe that by taking vows and expressing ourselves verbally is just as critically valuable to a marriage as it is to a relationship of elders and a congregation in the same sense of that ordinance of God. It's for our benefit, and it's for our understanding of the seriousness of commitment, and it's beneficial for all to have a public affirmation so that it's done in a way that everybody can see and hear and understand the value of what is transpiring. Nothing is hidden and nothing is done in the dark or behind the scenes that is not of value to the public. And so therefore, having said all of that, I would like to ask you three men, and if you would verbally affirm if this is where you are after each question, I would like to ask you first off, do you reaffirm your faith in Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And do you believe that the scriptures of both the Old and the New Testaments to be the Word of God, trustworthy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the supreme and infallible rule of faith and practice?
Yes, I do.
Do you promise to submit to your fellow elders in the Lord?
Yes, I do.
Have you been induced by God, as far as you know your own heart, to accept the role of elder from the love of God and the sincere desire to promote His honor and glory?
Yes, I do.
Do you promise to be zealous and faithful in promoting the truths of the gospel and the purity and peace of the church, whatever persecution or opposition may arise against you on that account?
Yes, I do.
Will you be faithful and diligent in the exercise of all your responsibilities as an elder, whether personal or relative, private or public? And will you endeavor by the grace of God to clothe your life with the gospel and to walk with exemplary piety before this congregation?
Yes, I will.
And finally, are you now willing to take personal responsibility for the spiritual life of this congregation as an elder, to oversee spiritual growth and development of this body, and to devote yourselves to prayer, the ministry of the Word, and the shepherding of God's flock, relying upon the grace and the power of God in such a way that this family, as a part of the kingdom of God, is called the Warrensburg Church of Christ, will be blessed?
Yes, I do.
I would like to invite the wives of these men to come and stand with them. And at that time, I would like to invite Ellen Olis, who has been a past elder in this congregation, and for that reason, I solicit his participation this morning in leading songs, and I'd like for Alan to pray for these men and for their wives, and then he will lead us in song 193.